Father, I want to thank you for where you've brought us. I want to thank you, Father, for the step of faith that our fellowship has taken to say yes. Yes to reaching people. Yes to believing that as long as there is a lost man or woman within driving distance of this place, that we are to keep reaching out, that we are to continue welcoming, and that we will continue believing, Father, that you will bless us to do what you've put us here to do. And we know it's not about building buildings. They simply meet a need of having a place for people to come. But it's not about that. It's about the people. It's about the children. And so, Father, I pray today that the word will speak to our hearts and we will leave here with a biblical view of children and motherhood and parenting and reaching children who have no family and no parents to guide and direct them. And so, Father, open our hearts to what you want to say today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. All right, so today is Mother's Day, and I think it is good for us to focus on the work of raising up the next generation of believers and followers. Now, would you agree with me, anybody that has children, would you agree with me that raising children is hard work? Amen? I mean, it is. It's 24/7. And you know, there are men and women today who succeed every day at their jobs, and yet when they come home, they stumble and they fail and they fall, or at least they feel like they do when they get home, because they wonder, how do I do this? You know, how do I raise my child? How do I raise the next generation? Or at least I want them to think about that. How do we raise the next generation of God followers? How do we raise the next generation of those who are going to build up the church, who are going to do missions around the world, who are going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to their neighbors and to their friends? How are we going to do that? And a lot of times we don't feel like that we're doing that very well. And maybe that's true. Maybe we're not doing it very well. But why is it that we're not? And what I want you to think about is that many times we're not doing what we need to be doing because of this. We cannot raise our children. We cannot raise our kids. We cannot raise grandkids on the faith of our parents. And I'm looking at a generation right now. We're still close enough to the generation, the builder generation, who chased after God, and who were these people who worshiped the Lord. Worshiping God was very important in their life. And we're still really close to that generation of people. We haven't gotten that far away from them. But one of the things that we should have learned is you cannot raise your children on the faith of your parents. You can only raise your children to know the Lord on your faith. And that means that you've got to have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that is a daily issue for all of us who are parents. What about our relationship with the Lord? So I want you to look at Judges chapter 2 at the importance of this issue. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And it's at the top of your outline. I went ahead and put it in there so you can see it with me. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that God had done. Now, I want you to look at the first truth in your life point outline. If you're new here this morning, there's a life point outline inside your Sunday bulletin. So go ahead and pull that out. Here's the first truth. We are always only one generation away from those following along behind us not knowing the things that really matter, not knowing the values that set us apart from the world. And in our text, in this Judges chapter 2 passage, the nation of Israel, the parents, the grandparents, the teachers, the priests, whoever it was, did not do a good job. They blew it. They failed to pass on to the generation behind them the things about following the Lord, the things that God had done. They failed to pass on to the kids behind them the things that really, really mattered. What really matters, and to value those things. And because a generation grew up who didn't know the Lord, the Bible says that generation went into sin, went away from the Lord. And here's the thing that ought to get us. The discipline of God, the judgment of God came upon that generation. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want the judgment and the discipline of God to fall on my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. How about you? Huh? Well, God says the only way to protect them from that is to make sure they get it, to make sure they understand by how we live our lives, parents, grandparents, are our kids catching from us what's important? What is important? Because they're watching, right? They're watching us every day. And the thing I want you to think about is, are we raising, is this next generation, are they Judges chapter 2? Are we raising a Judges 2 generation that's coming up behind us? So let me give you two or three thoughts this morning. Number one, the importance of godly mothering the next generation. It is so important. Look at Psalm 127, verse 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are His reward. And so what God is saying is, He said, I want you to understand, this is how heaven looks upon these baby dedications. This is how heaven looks upon birth of little children. God says that children are gifts from Him. They are gifts. And I don't know how you look at them, but God looks at children as gifts. And the Lord Jesus was very clear. Listen to what Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 in the Amplified Bible says this. Beware, now this is our Lord talking. Beware that you do not despise or feel scornful towards or think little of these little ones. In other words, be careful you're not a generation that despises children in the womb. Be careful you're not the generation that sees the fruit of the womb as something to be discarded. For I tell you, Jesus said, that in heaven their angels always are in the presence of my Father who is in heaven. Now that is revelational. Do you know what the Bible just told us? The Bible just told us something that we wouldn't know unless God revealed it to us, and that is, of all the assignments that God could make to angels, one of the primary assignments of heaven to angels is the task of watching over children. Isn't that amazing? Every child has got an angel watching over them. That is absolutely huge to me. And in Matthew chapter 19, these parents were bringing children to the disciples of the Lord to bless them. And the disciples are saying, go, leave, get out of here. This is, you know, he's way too busy for this. Look what Jesus said, Matthew 19, 14. Jesus said, stop. He said, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus was laying his hands on them. Now, the disciples were simply acting out of the custom of their day. Children were not valued very highly. They were not mistreated, but children in Jewish society were marginalized. They weren't out there in the center hardly ever. And yet here, Jesus pulled these little ones close to him, and in doing so, Jesus put a child next to him, and he said, do you see this? Do you see this child? Do you see this little one on my lap? What Jesus said is, this matters to God. This right here, this child matters to heaven. Isn't that huge? Amen. And the Lord said that. That ought to give you a whole new appreciation for ministry up here on the hill. Because Jesus said, these little ones matter to God. Matthew 18, verse 16, go back a chapter. He's talking the same truth about children. Jesus said, if any of you seeks to stop a child from coming to me, if any of you get in the way of a child's spiritual development and you seek to mess with the child in such a way they have no desire to heaven. Listen to what he says. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him or her if a rock was tied around their neck and they were drowned in the depth of the sea. Jesus said, let me just reveal to you something. You get in the way of a child coming to me. You live such a life that you destroy the faith that is building. You destroy a child's perception that God is real, that heaven is real. You attack that faith, and I am telling you as God, it would be better for you if you just had a rock tied around your neck and we just threw you into the water to drown as though you were nothing. He said, because what's coming will not be pleasant. That is absolutely huge. And so here's the truth in your outline. All children matter to God. All of them. And on Mother's Day, it is to be remembered that Scripture teaches that everyone is to value children and, listen, value having children in their lives. Look at the truth in your outline. The Bible doesn't encourage having children. It commands it. There's a command. Have children. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God made man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, listen, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with what? Dogs? Cats? You watch television, you think they're leaving them in their will. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with loving animals. Dogs were afraid to be owned by me when I was growing up. All my dogs died a horrible death. I got to where I wouldn't even have an animal just so more animals would live. They died. If you're going to John Green, oh, God, you're going to die. You know, you're not going to last. All mine died. That's another story. It'll probably come out in some message sometime. But it was bad. But today, you know, media, it's part of the thing, to me, of denigrating children. When you elevate animals to the level of kids, and that's what you see, and I hate it. I don't hate animals. I hate humans who elevate animals over children. You understand what I'm saying? And so more than having a pet dog, more than having a pet cat, God said, first of all, you should want to have a child. And you should want grandchildren. That's the biblical way. Does that make sense? That's the biblical way. The norm for men and women is to marry and have children. Why? Because children matter, and God's plan is for children, and that's a blessing to us. And a growing number of people today choose not just to not have children, they're also choosing to delay having children. In all of my reading, this is a man and a woman. Listen to what they said when they're asked about having children. They said, well, we like to travel. We really enjoy going out to restaurants. We have a boat, and children would get in the way of all that. That's just bad. That is sad. But, you know, I understand why that happens. I do. Because kids are messy. Huh? Amen. That's right, they are. Stuff comes out both ends. Amen. I'm just telling the truth. And it doesn't matter which end, it stinks. Doesn't it? And you're usually dressed in something like this when it comes out. And they're expensive. They're maddening. They're frustrating, and they disrupt your schedule. But here's the truth in your outline. Children rub off the rough edges of self-absorption that can easily dominate our lives. See, I am prone to self-centeredness. And one of the reasons people are not having kids today is because we have a self-centered society. That's what's coming on. And if anybody ought to be having kids, it ought to be God's people. If anybody ought to be having children, it needs to be us. And so here's the insight. All of us need children in our lives, whether it's our own or somebody else's. So let me just kind of dive into that. Number two, mothers matter to God. Mothers matter. Kids do, mothers do. Our culture, I think, is sending a horde of mixed messages regarding motherhood. On one hand, people will spend thousands of dollars for the woman to freeze her eggs so that in the future she can have children when she gets ready. And then on the other hand, that same woman will fight tooth and nail for the right to kill a child in her womb. That does not make sense to me. That is absolutely crazy to me. I like what Sally Clarkson, this is in your notes. I wanted to give you this if you would like to purchase. I think it's a great book. Sally Clarkson authored The Mission of Motherhood. And this is what she said. She said, the fundamental mission of motherhood is the same as it always was, to nurture, protect, and instruct children, to create a home environment that enables them to learn and grow, to help them develop a heart for God and His purposes, and to send them out in the world prepared fully and meaningfully. It is up to us to embrace that mission as our own, to trust God to walk us through those details and use our willing mother's hands as instruments of His blessing. You know what moms do? Moms help their children succeed in their school studies. Would you agree with that? I remember seeing Catherine sit down, and I did too, but she did even more than me with the boys and helping them with their studies. Moms today are the ones, probably more than any other, that determine which school the kids are going to go to. You know, where that mama, she's going to be like a Wolverine on that one. And they're going to guard the activities that the kids participate in. And that mom is going to stand guard at the door about which kids come into the house and which ones don't. And she's going to rule. She's going to teach manners, and she's going to teach relational behavior. That's what moms do. And here's the truth. But the most important work of a mother is ensuring her children know the truth about the Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 talks about the faith of the young preacher Timothy. And this is what it says about him. Listen to what I say. I call to remembrance, Paul said, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And so you see this progression of the faith. And Timothy was a great man of faith, and it was due, Paul said, to the rich faith that his grandmother passed to his mother, and he caught it from his mama. He caught the faith from his mother. Timothy learned from those two women in his life that the pathway to wisdom is a fruitful life is gained, a faithful life is gained on your knees before God. So that's where I saw them get it. He saw those moms, his mom and his grandmother, praying women. And so the truth of your outline, building a legacy is no cakewalk. It's not. And I just want to speak to that. Eunice and Lois, I think, were faithful to teach Timothy. But I want you to understand, if we understand anything right, they're just like us. And I think there were those struggles that they did. You know, how can I pass this on to my grandson? How can I pass it on to my son? And because they knew he cannot rely on their faith. It has to be his faith. He's got to develop a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And ladies, this is what I wrote down this morning. So let me just read this, because this was just this morning my time alone with the Lord. Ladies, every day you are laying down bricks that build your house, that either build it up or tear it down. Now, here's where I got that. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. I didn't put that in your notes, so write it down. Proverbs 14, 1. Now, this is what it says. A wise woman builds her house. A foolish woman tears hers down with her own hands. And so what God is saying is that the woman of the house has the power to build up or to tear down her home. Your bricks to build it up are bricks of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control. And you put down those bricks in that home when you are patient with that toddler and their never-ending demands. It never stops, and I get that. They're never-ending demands. And when you are patient with them, you're putting down a brick. And when you are kind and respectful to your husband, you're putting down a brick. And when you start your day with God, you're putting down a brick to build your home. Sally Clarkson put it this way. She said, through a mother's influence, morality can be learned, and morality is modeled. Through a mother's influence, love can be taught, and tenderness received. Through a mother's influence, purpose is ignited, and vision is passed on. What your child can do with their life, and that means that you intentionally stay tuned in to the opportunities to reach the heart of your child. And it's hard work. Would you agree with that, ladies? And there are some days the best thing you can do seemingly is just crawl out of bed and get a cup of coffee. And you feel like, dear God in heaven, you know I don't have enough to do anything else. Just get me through this day. Those are hard days. So what do you want to pass on to your kids? I've got 33 seconds to give you 15 minutes of material. How do you gain the access to the heart of your child? I want to give you this because this is important. Let me give it to you. Number one, acceptance. Every child needs to feel like they are accepted, regardless of how they look. God bless them, regardless of how they behave. And for children who are not in your family, it doesn't matter who their parents are. Doesn't matter who their parents are. That child should feel accepted by you. Matthew 18:5, Jesus said, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. And so God says, when you honor a child, you are honoring Christ. Providing a child acceptance, not approval. You don't approve their actions always or their choices, but you accept them. And when you accept them, that sets them up for a life of success and future relationships and having good self-esteem. And the home is the first place that a child ought to feel accepted. But now here's the challenge to that. Look at the truth in your outline. All kids are needy at the most inconvenient times. Ain't it the truth? They need it. They need to know you love them, but God in heaven, they need you to need them and want them and bless them at the most inconvenient times. There is not one simple child born that's easy to develop. Every child has a lot of needs, and parenting will always mean less time for me. And you just have to understand that. There's going to be less time for me because children, by definition, are N-E-E-D-Y. Say it. Needy. They are. There you are. Every child. And if you struggle, Mom, this morning with your child's neediness, let me give you a verse for you. Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. Aren't we grateful that God is compassionate toward us? When we have blown it for the 100th time that day, and he is still compassionate. Why? Because he says, every moment I remember, you're nothing but dirt and water. And I remember that. And you're broken and you're flawed. And I have compassion on you. I don't just say, get away from me. I receive you. And that's the challenge of parenting. To receive them day in and day out because they're needy. And then number two, you give them guidance. Psalm 32:11, children, come and listen to me. I will teach you to worship the Lord. Listen, every child will never catch on their own. They've got to be taught on purpose about Christ. They don't get it by osmosis. I know you don't see yourself as a theologian, Mom, but you are. You are a theologian. Let me give you some verses to write down. Psalm 32:11, children, come and listen to me. I will teach you to worship the Lord. That's Psalm 32:11. Psalm 78, verse 4, we will not hide these truths from our children, but will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. Here's the insight I want you to see. You are teaching your child something about God. The question is, what are you teaching them? because you are teaching them. You are grandparent, granddad, grandmom, mom, dad. You are teaching your grandkids something. You are a theologian to your kids. The question is, what are you teaching them? So let me give you another book. I didn't give you a space to write that in, but you can just write it in somewhere. There's a book out by Ted Tripp. He is T-E-D-D, T-E-D-D, Tripp, T-R-I-P-P. And he wrote the book, Shepherding Your Child's Heart. That's worth your money. And then the third thing we need to give our kids is correction. Proverbs 10:17, whoever abides by discipline walks toward life. Whoever ignores correction goes astray. What God is simply saying is that part of my role in parenting is to discipline and to correct the children under me. But also, Catherine and I did not struggle as much in this, but one of the things I know that is true is that one of the struggles in a husband-wife relationship is how to discipline. And it's amazing how we can approach it two different ways in raising the same child. But here's the truth in your outline. Terrible things happen to the child who's had no correction and has never learned to obey authority. So however you do it, make sure that gets passed across. So when does discipline need to begin in the home? Early. Early. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your children while they are young. Young enough to learn. If you don't, you are helping them destroy themselves. Here's the truth. There are two words every child has got to learn to obey implicitly early on. You know what those two words are? Come and no. And when a child learns to obey authority, when they learn to obey authority, you know what it does? It sets him up to succeed in school. Because all through their life, somebody's going to be over them. And they better learn now, or they're going to be standing in line to get a job a lot. They'll get along better in school, in sports, in business, in a job, and in a career, and it'll open their heart to God. It'll open their heart to God. When a small child is running toward the street, and you see your little 2 or 3 year old running toward the street, and there's a car coming, and you holler, stop! What do you want them to do? Stop. Yeah. You better make sure they have learned to obey that. They need to obey stop, and they need to obey come here. Come here to me right now. But it's going to hurt. Oh, it's going to hurt more if you don't. You know why that's important? Because when you're an adult, when God says, come here, don't do that, and you keep doing it, what's going to happen? You're going to have misery. There's going to be misery in the home. There's going to be misery on the job. You know why? God says, I got all kinds of ways I can wear you out. And if you're my son, if you're my daughter, I will never let the devil have you. I will never let the world have you without fighting for you. And that means if I have to put you flat on your face or whatever I have to do, I will do it to get your attention. Does that make sense? Why is God putting me in this sick bed? Why did God let that happen? Because he's trying to get your attention, not head. Question is, how stubborn are you going to be? So here's the truth. Teaching a child early on, come and know, sets him up to receive blessings from God in life. All right, number four. Children we don't know need us. And I want you to hear me on this, and I'll give you a fast second. I want to close this morning by focusing on the future and our opportunity to change the future of our planet one child at a time. Because one child can make a difference. One child. Here's the truth in your outline. There are children at risk every day all over the world. There are children at risk every day all over the world. Proverbs 31:8. Speak up for people who cannot speak for themselves. protect the rights of all who are helpless. That's God's word to his people. That verse can only mean one primary thing, and that's children. It's children. Children have no voice. Children have no power in the world. You never see a demonstration on ABC, NBC, or CBS. You never see a demonstration in downtown Washington of all kids. Right? Anybody seen one? No. You don't see demonstrations led by children. Why? Because they don't have any voice. They don't have any power. And God says, we who have power and influence and a voice are to use what we have on behalf of those who have no voice. Wes Stafford is president of Compassion International. You'll hear more about that in October during Missions Month. He wrote this about children. This is what he said. Children pay the highest price in a society when things go wrong. In a famine, adults may be hungry, but children will be the first to starve to death. When a disease like HIV hits, adults become very sick, but the first to die normally are children. When the sickness of pornography has run to its most evil and destructive end, it takes the form of child pornography. When prostitution reaches its sickest, most depraved form, it becomes child prostitution. Closer to home, children become the sacrificial lambs when homes break up due to neglect, anger, or hostility. One thing you may or may not know, in Cambodia, there is a street called the Street of the Little Flowers. It is a very narrow street with many padlocked doors that are covered with iron bars. At night, those padlocks come off, and little girls as young as 5 years of age are paraded out into the street where Western tourist men are waiting to buy them at $300 to $500 for a night or a week to do as they please with them. Every are very vulnerable little girls. Who's going to speak up for them? Who's going to speak up for these little girls and millions like them, vulnerable to evil, to those who prey on children and abuse and use them and throw them away like paper? Who's going to stand up for them? One of the simplest things you can do is put children on your radar screen here on the Hill. All that building says, and people get all caught up about money, all that building says is that children matter to us. That's what that building says. Kids matter. And we're willing to sacrifice for the sake of children because they're the future and they're the most vulnerable. And God said he loves children. And for some kid today, when you're out on this campus, you make eye contact with them and you smile at them, you grin at them, and you give them a kind word. Now, there are a bunch of kids here, and most of them come from good homes. And it may not mean a whole lot to that child, but somewhere along the way, when you're out in the community, when you're out in town or whatever, and you speak, you look at a child in the eye, and you say a kind word to them, you have no idea what that child is going through. And that kind word, that sincere look from an adult says to them, I am important. An adult noticed me and paid attention to me. And you have no idea what that'll do for that kid. So look at the invitation in your outline. This morning, the challenge is this. God, would you say this to the Lord? God, would you show me how to become a voice for vulnerable children? How can I lend my voice on their behalf? That's all I want you to ask God to do. Lord, what would you have us do? Because that's what we're asking ourselves this season in October. That's what we're going to be asking ourselves as a church and as people. And then number two, that you would think, you would ask yourself, is there a place in my heart that says, I don't think our family's finished. I think God has someone else for us. Now, maybe you know you're supposed to adopt someday. I want you to make very sure that's what you're supposed to do. Don't just do it because it's a child that we're talking about. But once you know it's what you're supposed to do, then move on it and do it. Just adopt that little one. And number three, Missions Month this year will focus on orphans and how we as a church and as people can partner with Compassion International, because that's what they're all about, just helping the orphan. And then as we leave this Mother's Day, I want you to remember this command from James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion is this, to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering. And my hat's off, and I want to say thank you to our deacon ministry. These guys every week are calling our widows, and we've got some pretty snappy widows that are strong. And they're like saying, guys, thank you for calling me, but you don't have to call me every week. I'm good. And I mean, they're tough as nails. And so we've got some widow women that, you know, we may sign them up to do guard duty here on the hill. But we have some that, you know, are very appreciative of us calling. And then lastly, there may be somebody here this morning, just in this ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit, that you realize that you need to be part of God's forever family. And that you'd want to say, Father, I want to know when I die that I'm coming home to you. And I want my life to really count for the Lord Jesus. And you give your heart and life to him. Now let's bow together for prayer. And I've gone over, so guys, we're going to hold off any announcement video. I want us to stand together. Would you stand before the Lord?